في خلاص مولانا ومسعي الانيسي من فويس شن عسلانو في حسين وهو شي يتغيش مع غامي بدابي عشي يدنا كل عطاش في خلاميسي فومالي بدغاش طاش زو حريز المسلم رمبان emphasizes the importance of our Nipsukim of Arami de Yobi and the Drash. I mean, it's a little unusual. Who is she Yidreish in Arami de Yobi? Why Yidreish? Who is she Eima? Why all of a sudden Yidreish? Why Yidreish? All of a sudden Yidreish? Because the Rambam tried to explain something. Actually, here the Balagode is assuming, I mean, that's the Mechilte, that Arami is descriptive of lover. With the traditional mikro, as the Ben Ezra points out, Arami does not have reference to lover. Arami has reference to Yaakov, as I mentioned yesterday, to Yaakov. The Rashbam says it has reference to Avraham, all right. But the other unfortunate, the Ben Ezra, Svone, we all say that with judicial mikro, Arami has reference to Yaakov Avinu. Because, and the raya that the judicial mikro, as a matter of fact, the Rashbam's pshat is difficult. Rashbam says that with judicial mikro, Arami has reference to Avraham. But then it says, Vayered Mitzrayim. All right, Avraham also went to Mitzrayim. But Avraham went to Mitzrayim for a short time, then returned. But if it has reference to Yaakov Avinu, we understand. Arami Lidovi Vayered Mitzrayim. But if it has reference to Avraham Avinu, what about Vayered Mitzrayim? So in other words, so the subject of Arami is Avraham. And the subject of Vayered is Yaakov. It's strange, if it's traditional. So, all the Mephoshim, except for the Rashbam, all the Mephoshim say that with judicial mikro, Arami has referenced the Yaakov, and the Ben Ezra, not. יוניסו ואמרת לפני השם הולכחו, ארמי ידידובי בילד מצרימו, ויוגה שום נמצא מיות, והיא שום נגי גודי ועוצם לרוב. So, ארמי סודר נזרה says, אי ודובי, מילס אי ויד מהפולים שאינם יעצי. So, in other words, it's an intransitive verb. ויהיו הויה ארמי על לבון. Or Yaakov Avinu Mavit or Miabit of it. If it has reference to Lavan, then the passage should say Arami Miabit of. So it should be a transitive verb, Miabit of. So, but Eved means a wandering, my wandering father, my lonely father, my lonely ancestor, Yaakov Avinu. It's an intransitive verb. But if it had reference to Lavan, you should say Arami Miabidovi. Lavan is not Ovi, Lavan. Even though he was the father of Rachel and Leah, but still we don't refer to Lavan as our father. So you should say Arami Miabidovi. Miabidovi. So, or Mabid. Veid matam leima lovon bikesh lahavi dovi vayered mitzraimo. The lovon receive a glogades on mitzraim. The akore shearami hu yako. To rom akosuf kasher hoyo ovi bearom. Hoyo ebe, a wandering, my wandering, lonely ancestor, Yako. Vatam אני בילוי מומי וכן תנו שיכול להיבט V'atam oni b'lemome. Why is he wondering? In other words, my poor, unfortunate ancestor. He was poor, he had no money, Yaakov Avinu. So that's eating. Just as the chen tnu, sheikho levi. What does it mean, levi? It means somebody who's unfortunate. So he's called levi. Vaid yishte v'yishkach. You can bring a rame levi to your... Now, and the Rashba, the Sforna also said the same thing. Aram Eved Odi in the Odi Shor Yaakov who is man ma Aram Eved Shor Hoyol Beis Meshav, he didn't even have a home, was a lonely person. Uvichein lo hoyo mucham la'amid goy rol lo reshes oz. So all the Mephoshim say, so say that Arami has left the traditional mikro has reference to Yaakov, not to Rova. But the Baragode says that it has reference to Rova. Who is that? Unkelis. Unkelis says, Veisosei bisei na'akodom adishem alekoh, Rova na'ramoe, So, Unkeles, who always translates according to the traditional Mikro, at all, Chazal say, Mikro is in the Pshute, even though they are droshes that are not the same as the traditional Mikro, but in the way of the Lekim Chaim, come upon the tail. So, whenever so Rashi, you find in Rashi many times, the Rabbi Seinu Dorshu Mashe Dorshu, Avo Pshuti Shom Mikroi Mikach. So, in Chassi Shalom, Rashi doesn't mean to reject the Drash Chazal, but the Drash is one meaning, and the Pshuti Shom Mikroi is another meaning. So, Unkeles Derach Klal translates in accordance with the Pshuti Shom Mikroi, and that's the way it should be translated. Now, for example, Lalochet. There are many parts of the Torah that can be recited b'cholosh. Kriyashma, for example, is a machlekes between Rebbe and the Chacham. And we paskin like the Chacham. And we paskin like the Chacham that Shma b'cholosh is at the Mishmeya. Not like Rebbe who says b'adiyosom that it has to be recited after the Lashon HaKodesh. So you can be mekayim the mitzvah of Trishme by reciting Trishme in English. Now, but suppose there is a certain term in Trishme that the traditional mikro is one thing. According to the Drash, it means something else. For example, Vishnantam Nivonecho in Trishme. What's the traditional mikro? Vishnantam Nivonecho. Thou shalt teach to thy sons. That's the traditional mikro. What the Drash is, Vishnantam Nivonecho, if the table on the Chodor Mipir. If somebody reads, recites Krishna in English, how will he read it? Vishinantam Levanecho, he'll say in English, thou shalt teach thy sons, or he'll say, thou shalt rehearse. I think that if somebody will say Krishna in English, and will, instead of translating it into thou shalt teach thy sons, he'll say, thou shalt rehearse in thy mouth, he will not be in the kind of mitzvah pressure. But that's the drash. Vishinantam, she did a term of the Antichah, the answer is, that's the drash. But the traditional mikro of Vishinantam is, thou shalt teach thy sons. And when something is to be recited in another language, so it has to be translated in the other language according to the traditional mikro, not according to the drash. And Unkeles is such a matpid, always to translate into Aramaic according to the traditional mikro, not according to the drash. You find it many times. So how is it all of a sudden here the traditional mikro goes without saying that Arami having reference to Lovo, and that's the meaning of Pidrash. In the Lovo, but that's not the meaning of Pidrash. It's not the meaning of Pidrash. How is it that Nicholas, just this person, that's an exception, I don't know of any other person, where Nicholas emphasizes the Drash over and above the Pidrash? I don't know. There might be many, but I don't know. So how come? It's not a Pidrash Mikro, a Pidrash Mikro, so as the Ibn Ezra says, so a Pidrash should be a Rami Me'avido, a Pidrash of the Anotorum of Pidrash in so far as the Drash meaning is concerned. The Korum of Pidrash apply only to the Pidrash Mikro meaning, not to the Drash meaning. So how is it that Unteres made an exception here? And he translated Dafke in the exegetical sense, Arami as being descriptive of Lobo, not as being descriptive of Yaakov. Why? And this is exactly the reason, I think, as to why the Rambam calls it the Yidresh. He says, Vihu she Yidresh Marami, we all saw she Yidresh Marami Ridori. Why Yidresh? The answer is no, because the Rambam emphasizes that in the Agode, in order to unikain the mitzvah of the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we have to emphasize the exegetical, the drash, over and above the literal. Why? Because that's the reason as why the Rambam, as I said yesterday, Pichei Mastriu Migiya Sh'avodim Ha'inu Mifared Mitzrayim. So he emphasizes the significance of the drash of Arami, not the traditional mikro of Arami Dovi, but the drash of Arami Dovi, in conjunction with the aspect of the significance of physical redemption. Not in conjunction with the aspect of spiritual redemption. But the Avodim Yiyinu and Vayitzein Anishem Mitzrayim, that aspect. Why? Because now we have Machlek, as I said yesterday, we have Machlek between Rav and Shmuel, so Rav says, Masri Mitzkali Gavizora, and Shmuel says, Avodim. And most Rishonim say that it's not a machlekes whether he has to say one or the other. He has to say both, according to everybody. But the question is, what is first? Or, as some machines, the Rambam explains, there is no machlekes. I mean, it's a mara machode, mara machode, but in other words, he has to say both, and in the discussion of each, he has to first start mentioning the Shibud and then the Gulag. He cannot start immediately discussing the Gulag. He has to mention what preceded the Gulag. So, in other words, and according to some Rishonim, there is a machlekes between Rav and Shmuel. Both agree that he has to mention both, but the question is, what should he discuss first? So Rav says he has to discuss first because, as the Torah says, the goal of Yitzchus Mitzrayim was Matan Torah, and the Rambam in the Nivuchim says, even though, I mean, that superficially at first blush it seems strange, he says the reason is why the Torah requires us to count Sfira, to combine Yitzias Mitzrayim with Matan Torah. Even though the Torah says, I mean, that we have to count the Sfira not after the Yitzias Mitzrayim, but after the Akodesh Arina. So apparently, obviously, there is a connection, there is a certain correspondence between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Akodesh Arina. And So, but this is how, and there is a Medrash. The Medrash says, that the Rebbeinu Shem told Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu asked, when will the Jews be ready for Kabbalah HaTorah? So the Chachos from Mitzrayim Tavnes Lekim Alor said, when will that be? The Tavnes. So the Rebbeinu Shem said, they'll start counting 49 days and then there'll be Kabbalah HaTorah. So what the Rambam says in the Nebuchim is really mentioned in the Medrash. So Memele Rab says, since the whole purpose of the Sias Mitzrayim was because of Kabbalah HaTorah, so Memele, that has to be discussed first. And Shmuel says too, the purpose of the Sias Mitzrayim is the spiritual redemption. But there couldn't be spiritual redemption without a magical or physical redemption. Couldn't, it's impossible. So that's why he has to mention the aspect of physical redemption, first. And that's the reason as to why we pass that first we mention Avodah Mayinu and then Mitchilo the Abisein. Not that physical redemption is more important. No, spiritual redemption is more important. Physical redemption without spiritual redemption is worthless. But you couldn't have a spiritual redemption without a preceding physical redemption. But then, at the same time, there is a danger, because Jews will become deceived or tempted or captivated by the alluring attractive idea that physical redemption is the summa bonum of everything. On one hand, it is true, there has to be physical redemption as the foundation for spiritual redemption. It's just impossible to conceive of any spiritual redemption without a modicum of physical redemption. But on the other hand, there is the danger of becoming fascinated by the erroneous, attractive idea. It's a very attractive idea. Physical redemption, there's the summa bonum. So because of that, the Rambam says, true, b'chimasnu m'diyash avodim ayim utar mitzrayim, b'cholero oshed molonu, u'nisayim b'nisim et mitroiz, שנעשה לנו עם בחירוסנו, והוא שידריש מהרם ילידו ויעשיתים אותו לפרשה. If he discusses and he gives vent to the drash, not the פשוטי של מיקרו, the פשוטי מיקרו is not important here, but דווקא the drash of הרם ילידו, אונקלס פשט. And what's the idea of הרם ילידו? What? Laban wanted to destroy all the Jews? It's not true. Laban liked Yaakov, but he wanted Yaakov to become assimilated. Yeah, Laban wanted Yaakov to forget about spiritual redemption, only physical redemption. And he suggested, as I said yesterday, he was the initiator of the whole idea of a ecumenical council. Laban was the initiator. Not the modern rabbis, and not the pope, and not the cardinals. Laban! It's really not right of Laban when we mention other names. We mention a pope, a cardinal, a very modern rabbi. To mention, we have to say, Laban is your name, right? He deserved the credit. He was the initiator of this idea.
Galaze,
Aber ki abrom wel hei noch hei a yishtik v'nei. There has to be a multifaceted society with many denominations. There has to be a similar council. Orthodox, one branch, fine. But there has to be conservative, reconstructionist, reform. And there has to be a ecumenical council together with the Catholics and the Protestants. There has to be unity. Kiyavom, fine, but there has to be a lane of also. Yishli to Beneinu. Kiyavim. And Yaakov, you didn't fight things. You want peace? Fine. You believe in the ecumenical council? Fine, wonderful. But that's vis-a-vis yourself. Why don't you make an ecumenical council between the Catholics and the Protestants? And if you want to unite the Muslims and the Buddhists also fine. I have no objection. But I'm not going to be part of it. By Yeshua Yaakov, the Pachad of Peace. As Omi says, Kechol ha'amim yilfu b'shem el-heyen, v'anachnu b'shem ha'dishem el-keino. We believe in religious freedom for all denominations. As a matter of fact, most Shemim say, and that's the Pesach of the Ramon, and the overwhelming majority of all the Poskim, there is a Nid of Yehuda, but the Nid of Yehuda is a difficult Nid of Yehuda. Then B'neach Lihuz Ala Shituf. So B'neach is not even Muzer on this kind of Abrizore that Christianity represents. It's Abrizore vis-a-vis Jews. As the Goyen says, because the Gabi Israel, so there is a parasha of the Veach, the Lihim Yechron, built to Hashem Levade. So, Abrizor al Derech Hashitu, adulterated monotheism, is also Abrizor. And it's even worse than real paganism, vis-a-vis Israel. But vis-a-vis Neach, Neach Lizor Hashitu, the Rav Amiri says that the Nitzrim, if they observe the other mitzvahs of Zanjiniyah, I mean all the fundamental duties towards humanity, so they have another gotation. So, they believe in the Ecumenical Council, fine, but not together with us. We don't believe in the Ecumenical Council, ecumenism. You want to swear in the name of Elokei Avrom and Elohim Melchiah. Who has objections? Who has objections? But Yaakov is not going to swear in the name of Elokei Avrom and Elohim Melchiah. Yishav Yaakov b'pachad of Yitzchak. And that has been the policy of the Yisrael throughout the generations. Whoever heard one of the Yisrael attacking Christianity? Who? No one. And even when Christian priests agitated the fanatical masses towards pogroms, so the Billy Israel never spoke disparagingly against the Christian religion. Only against the anti-Semitism of certain Christian ministers, not against the Christian religion. Do you find anything in Chazal against Yeshua? Not word. So there are certain, Yeshua is mentioned in Chazal, and the censorship took it out. But that's a Yeshua who lived at the time of Yeshua ben Prachya, that was 150 years before the founder of the Christian religion. And the Rav Amiri in the Abdomet Pirkeoves, he mentions that. I mean that the whole story that the Sanhedrin executed the issue, I mean it's not true. It's Mizriach Mitech, because at the time when he was executed, if he was executed, So at the time when he was executed, if he was executed, there were no dinim nefashos. Avoyim shono, kidim chol b'samigdor, shibot dinim nefashos in Yisrael. But the apostles made up the story because there was a issue in the time of Yeshua ben Brachia, 150 years before, who was an Eishes Madiach, and he was executed. And that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Erev Pesach, he was executed Erev Pesach. So Menele, in order to fabricate him, to malign the Purushim, it was a nice story. It was a very nice Aluras Dam. A very nice Aluras Dam against the Jews. But the Chachamim don't mention Yeshua. How is it the Chachamim don't mention Yeshua? How is it? What, they were afraid? They weren't afraid of anything. They are misogynist because that's our approach. We don't discuss the religious beliefs of the other nations. We only want that they shouldn't try to impose their faith upon us, that's all. Nothing else. They want ecumenism, fine, wonderful. Ecumenism between Catholics and Protestants, Unitarians, Muslims, Buddhists, whatever over there. But not Jews. I'm the God of Yishkei. By Yeshua Yaakov is Pachadol Yitzchak. Yaakov didn't say, oh, I can't make an alliance with you because you speak of Elkei Avrom Velhei Nochia. You speak of Elkei Avrom Velhei Nochia. He wouldn't care whether you just mention Elhei Nochia without mentioning Elkei Avrom. Oh, we don't care that you mention Elkei Avrom also. That's your business. But we are Nizba B'Pachad of Yitzchak, no ecumenism. And this is what Lavan tried to eradicate from Yaakov. This aspiration of a Yeshua Yaakov B'Pachad of Yitzchak, that was the most important thing he tried to eradicate. This dedication to the Elkei Yisrael, no ecumenism. That is Bitishlak Rasaka. Even if you say Jews have to have the same rights as non-Jews, but if you want to impose the ecumenistic concept upon the Jews, so it's Bitishlak Rasaka. That's undermining the foundation of the spiritual heritage of the Jewish people. That's why. So then, and if we don't take notice of this basic notion, the drash of Aramidah, not the traditional Aramidah, the traditional Aramidah, of course it's important, but doesn't have any special significance. The drash, the exegetical meaning of Aramidah is a basic concept, and this is at the core of the foundation of the Torah. Arami Milovi, in spite of all his devotion and all his love, taught Yaakov, and he loved Yaakov. But he wanted Yaakov to become assimilated. He wanted Yaakov to form a ecumenistic faith between a mizuk, a merger, between the faith of Elkei Avrom and the faith of Elhei Nochel. That's Arami Lidori. Bikishlak Rasak. And if he doesn't emphasize the drash of Arami Lidori, he's not Mikai, the mitzvah of Igaltori. Because then you emphasize the physical redemption aspect over and above the spiritual redemption. Truly apostle like Shmuel, that even though the general rule is Hilchasik Rabbi Yisure, and here we apostle like Shmuel, either because Rabbi is not even Chelik, or even if he's Chelik, we still apostle like Shmuel, that he has to discuss the physical redemption aspect first. Why? because while spiritual redemption is the more important one, but in point of time, the physical redemption has to precede the spiritual redemption. We cannot be an Am Malachaskian Bikodish if we are subjected to all kinds of zeras and persecutions and humiliations. It's impossible. We need not tell all the Malachi Ashores. But we should not fall prey to this pitfall notion of assuming that physical redemption, that's the main thing and the only thing. So that's why the Rambam says, "V'hu sheyidreish mi'arami vidodi ashiyid me'akol ha'parshe v'chol ha'meisifu marir bidrash parshe zu harei ze mishubach." That's the reason as to why I elaborate so much, because I want to be mishubach. The Rambam says that. So, now, in light of this drash of Harami Vidovi, we can understand many things. Kineged Abo Vonim Divroteo. Baruch Hamokim Baruch Hu Baruch Shastila Mishroel Baruch Hu Kineged Abo Vonim Divroteo Echad Chochom Dechad Rosho Dechad Tom Dechad Tom Dechad Tom Dechad Tom Dechad Hocha Moei Ben Moei Lachuk Manchpon Yishtiva Yishimon Kine Esra Afatu Mekala Pusam 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 Rosh Moei Ben Moei Ben Moei Aziz Lochem Lochem Veloloi Ufi Sheitzi Esat Min Aklau Kofa Bika Afatu Hake Yishino Ben Moei Babu Zeo Sad Yishem Li Bitzisi Min Esroi Li Veloloi Ilo Yishom Lo Yoniga. I mean, at first blush, the Balagote is not polite at all. The way he talks, almost like an Italicati. So, Lochem Beloloi, Fish Hitzes Atzmin Naklau, Kofa Beika Bafatra Keshino. That obviously, it's not to be understood literally. Otherwise, you don't have to knock out his teeth. I mean, if he knocks out his teeth, he'll be arrested. And what will he accomplish? And you see, the Balagoda doesn't mean has to show him. In a literal sense, Haki Yeshinov knock out the sheep. Haki Yeshinov Emele, in other words, answer him in a blunt manner, without flattery. Sometimes I watch a discussion between a reform rabbi, a reconstructionist rabbi, a conservative rabbi, and the modern Orthodox rabbi. What kind of a dialogue it is? I mean, at least the reform rabbi. So he says, he gives vent to his ideas. Right, wrong, given. The modern Orthodox rabbi who participates only indulges in flattering the reform. That's all it is. There's no dialogue. All he says, he keeps on repeating it and repeating it. It's wonderful, it's wonderful to have a dialogue with the reform rabbi. It's wonderful. The most wonderful thing. I see that as being the summa bonum of all the miles davids, all the bounties that the Rebbeinu Shlom showered upon the cloud of soil. The summa bonum is the opportunity to participate in the dialogue with the Reform Rabbi on TV, especially the Channel 7. This is the summa bonum. So, but here we also have a dialogue. Rosh Moei, like you see, can we get our ball going into the table? In other words, we have a dialogue with everybody. We have a dialogue with the Chochon, we have a dialogue with the Rosho, we have a dialogue with the town, the Shemin, the Elushin. But when we have a dialogue with the Rosho, we have to try to elevate the Rosho. We don't consider the other Jew, the Reformed Jew, as the Osho, 100% Osho, and ourselves as the 100% Tzaddikim and the 100% Chachonim, Chas v'Sholem. pass for selling. Maybe there are some Jews now, many Jews, who think so, who think that they are, I mean, they are above criticism. But only the Reformed Jews, conservative Jews, have to be criticized. I'm not one of those. I criticize myself. I mean, this is the truth, I'm not joking. Because Baruch HaMokim, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shemo Sanfi Olam Yisrael, Baruch Hu, Kineget Abo, Bonin Dibroteo, Echot Chochom, Echot Osho, Echot Tam, Echot Tim Gilish. So, does that mean that in every Jewish home, so let's say there is a mother and a mother, and then there are four sons, the way the pictures in the Agoda indicate, the Chochom with the beard and tails, and the Rosh holding the gun. So they say, okay, well, you have a Chochom sitting next to the father, and then the Rosh, he sits next to the mother. The gun in his hand. You could get that impression when you look at the picture in the Agoda. It's not like that. Kineget Abo, Bonin Dibotio, Echot Chochom, Echot Rosh, Echot Tam, Echot Dibotio, Echot Rosh. In other words, in every Jewish home, they are Abo Bonin. Everyone. Because there is no 100% Chochom, 100% Rosh, Echot Rosh, 100% Tam, 100% Chini Dibotio. One is called the Chochom because The approach of the Chochom is the predominant thing in his thinking technique. And one which is called Rosho, because the approach of the Rosho, the cynical approach of the Rosho, regarding everything of the Torah in a disparaging manner, is the predominant factor in his thinking. And one is called Tom because he has a great degree of the Tom. And one is called Cheney the Elisha, so because there is a great deal of the Cheney the Elisha. But every Chochom in Tzadik Bor has actually has a table yachto, so every Chochom has a spark of rebellion in it, of resentment, of bitterness. You can find many chachomim, tzaddikim, midamdikim, mitzvos, but they have, if they were to be self-analyzing their own psyche, they would come to the inescapable conclusion that there is a lot of resentment in their mind. There's a lot of resentment in the mind. You think, I mean, that all the Kanoim who throw stones, those who drive the car on Shabbos in Yerushalayim, that everything is motivated by Shem Shemayim, Chas V'Sholem. Chas V'Sholem. My uncle, the Briska Rovi, was a big Kanoi, he didn't throw stones. The Chazmish was a big Kanoi, he didn't throw stones. Who throws stones? Fanatics. Young fanatics. Who don't know what the Torah is and what the Torah represents. But they want to, they rationalize in order to satisfy their inclination towards hatred. So they do it for Shem Shemayim. It's not for Shem Shemayim. No one will throw a stone at the Michal Shabbos for Shem Shemayim. They just deceive themselves. So they are chachomim, but there is a substantial portion of the washing in them that you don't realize, they deceive themselves. And the Rosho has, just as we say in Tzadik Boras, as she has a table yachto, so in the same way, and even more effectively, in Rosho, certainly among Klal Yisrael, so the Peshe Yisrael Mlei Mitzvos Kerime. The Chazal say that. And the Goyen says, but why is Rime mentioned as the symbol of the Jewish people? Ki Pelach HaRimein Rakoseich. So So the Goyim made an experiment. He got a number of pomegranates from Eretz Yisrael in those days, and from Italy, from Greece, all the countries were the remaining world. And he counted the number of garini, of kernels. Garini has so many kernels, seeds. So he found, of course, some remaining at more, some remaining at less, but on the whole, a remaining turned out to have tayak kernels, tayak seeds. So that's what he said, this is the pshat, patient is soil, lay mitzvahs kevin. Because even the patient is for it, and they don't know about it. They think that they are dedicated to the Marxist idea, this idea, that idea. But unconsciously, there is the tayav mitzvahs that motivate them. They will not recognize it. They will not recognize it. Why did the Rav Kook Zecher Levroche, why was he Mikarev? The patient is foiled from the Istadrut. Harat Kuk never was encouraged the reform rabbis. He never flattered the reform rabbi. But he was encouraged the patient is foiled the atheist. Why do the modern rabbis, why had they encouraged so much Dafke, the modern successful reform rabbis who have billionaires in their temples? Why aren't they encouraged the atheists? The atheistic Jews who unfortunately become involved in drugs. Why aren't they Mikara then? Now I'll tell you a story that happened to me only 2 weeks ago. In Chicago there was a bill introduced of gay rights bill. The Catholics, so the Catholic ministers urged all the aldermen in Chicago to vote against the gay rights bill. They were attacked by the media. It's inconsistent with the American principle of separation of church and state. It's inconsistent, it's unconstitutional. All kinds of criticism. Now, the Jewish rabbis, there was a board of rabbis consisting Orthodox, Reform, Conservative, Reconstructionist, all kinds of rabbis. They were afraid to adopt a resolution against the gay rights bill. They were afraid. It's not democratic. It's not democratic. So, to our shame and disgrace, all the Catholic aldermen in the city council in Chicago so voted against the gay rights bill, without exception. And to our shame and disgrace, except for one, so all the Jewish aldermen voted in favor of the gay rights bill. There is one alderman who in a certain sense is a Briska. How is he Briska? He wasn't a Talmud of Rav Chaim and not of Rav Ovo, but he's a Briska because his father was born and raised in Brisk, and Rav Chaim raised money to enable his father's father to go to America in 1904. So he's a Briska. I mean, the alderman himself was born in Chicago, but his father was born and raised in Brisk. And he remembers the broches that Rav Chaim gave him. He has many sentiments, the father. The father is, I don't know, he's a Leo Sheva Shabbos, but he's a... I mean, he's a shulit, the father. So he has, his son is an alderman. So So I wanted to love him, but I felt that if I love him directly, it will not work, because I am a controversial figure. So I decided to do a Talmid Shliach. One of the Talmidim in Chicago, the Musmer, his name is Rabbi Lazovsky. He is the... In Chicago there is a certain organization, the ARC. It's a charitable organization and it gives medical aid to everybody. A very important organization, the ARC. And he is in charge of it, the executive secretary, I don't know what kind of a title he has. And he's a very energetic, dynamic person. So I told him to call up that other man, not to mention my name, and to lobby. The rabbi, a lot of rabbis wouldn't lobby. The most that they could do is to keep quiet. And they deserve credit for that. That they kept quiet. But all the Catholic priests, spoke against the gay rights bill. But how can you expect modern rabbis to emulate the example of Kim Sikon Shebehem Weyassus? To emulate the example of the Catholic ministers in things that are uncultural, but not in Sikon Shebehem, that's not. Because it's not a popular thing. So he exerted pressure upon that alderman. And he was the only Jewish alderman who ultimately was afraid to vote against. He was afraid because he was afraid that he would not be re-elected. But he did vote. He was the only Jewish alderman who voted in the Chicago City Council against the gay rights bill. So then he started to get telephone calls from Jews, wealthy Jews, the farm community protesting why he had the audacity to vote against the gay rights bill. So he had to vindicate himself. He was afraid that he will not be re-elected. And there's another person who was running against him, and that was the thing on the platform. He's for equal rights for the gay people. That's a big mile. he's a liberal. So then he said, I was lobbied. So some of the millionaire reform Jews asked him, who lobbied you? So he said, the ARC, Rabbi Soloveitchik, even though I never called him up, but he knew I was. So then this Rabbi Lazovsky got a few letters from certain prominent people, even lay people, in the reform community. So threatening it that because of that, so the reform community will not give a penny for Yeshivas Brisk or for the ARC. Yeshivas Brisk, I mean, they don't give a penny anyway. So, and he showed me the letters. And I was very curious to know who that a certain lady. She's prominent in the Reform Temple, in one of the suburbs of Chicago. So I told Father Lazovsky to make an investigation, find out who she is, why is she so adamant, as if the older man had committed murder. He voted against the gay rights bill. He made an investigation and found out that her son is homosexual. that's freedom. That's freedom. Now, so we have to have a dialogue with everybody. So it's not that they are four separate sons. One is 100% Chochom. It's not the question of black and white. The Chochom is called Chochom because Rube Kikure. And the Roshe is called Roshe also because of Rube Kikure. But the Chochom might have a substantial portion of the Roshe. And the Roshe might sometimes have a substantial portion of the Chochom and of the Tzadik. And sometimes you can find a situation where the so-called Chochom is motivated by riches and the so-called Roshe is motivated by righteous indignation. Unfortunately, today sometimes we see it. Sometimes we see it. So, sometimes we see a very funny situation that the Roshe keeps on talking against apartheid all the time, and the Tzaddik keeps on vindicating apartheid. We find such a situation also. So when Roshe Moreme Mo'aveda Aziz Lochem. So in other words, so what kind of a tiny does the Roshe say? Ma'avida Aziz Lochem. So let's look up in the Torah. What the Torah says is an answer to the tiny of Ma'avida Aziz Lochem. So who is it? There's the Roshi. V'amartem zevach posach hu l'Hashem asher posach ha'avotek bin Yisrael v'Yitzchayim v'inok peyes v'Yitzchayim v'itin hitzva yikitan l'Yishtachav. So how is it that the balagode, that the mechilte, does not conform to the answer that the Torah gives? Roshe Moreme Ma'aveda Aziz Lochem. So the Balagode should say, V'atato emeolei, Zebach Pesach hu l'Hashem, Asher posach ha'avotek bin Yisrael v'Yitzchayim, B'inok peyes v'Yitzchayim l'gdim yitzir. So how is it? We will Eloi. Lochem will Eloi. ופי שאיצה סעצו נקל קרדיקה, הפתח הקיישינו במלאי, ועבור זה עושה עד השם מי בצייסים ליצחוי. So, the Balagode mentions the tshuva that is given to the Sheni Yedilish. ועבור זה עושה עד השם מי, that is נסחרון. That's it. At the end of the boy. We got it all in Hosh. May you give me Postcress. ואם ההוא לא אמר בבוזל עושה לשם לי בצייס מצרון. So we will know is explanatory of the Pasuk Ches, Avozeo Shalishem Li. But that's Veshini Delish Latzachle, Shinema Vigar to Dupayim Ali Lamer, Avozeo Shalishem Li. So how is it that the Balangode, I mean, he misplaced? I mean, so it appears the answer that has to be, that the Torah gives to the Roshe, and the answer that the Torah gives to Shini Yidolisho and applied it to the Roshe. Why doesn't the Baal Gode quote correctly the answer that the Torah mentions as a response to the Roshe? What is it? Apparently, there is a connection between the Shein Yediyah Lisho and the Roshe. Because it's a mistake to assume the Shein Yediyah Lisho has reference to the Talmud child, you know, the Sidurim have a picture of Shein Yediyah Lisho, I mean, he looks retarded, I mean, it's not so. Shein Yediyah Lisho might have an IQ of 180 or even 200. Might have a great mind, might be very brilliant, but unspiritual musician in English. There are so many Jews today who are so brilliant, professors in universities, doctors, justices in courts, diplomats, but on a spiritual level, that's in the English. So, the Sheni, the Lishl, and the Roshe, they raise the same question. We both say, Ma'avir Yisrael. This question is raised by the Roshe. But the Malbim says that. I'm not saying it. The Malbim says that the Malbim also had to quote the early Reform rabbis. And the early Reform rabbis were very educated and very knowledgeable in Torah too. Geiger was not a poet. So the Rambam, so the Malbim says that the Sheni Yediyah Lisho is very smart, but spiritually he's a Sheni Yediyah Lisho. Why does the Malbim say? He says it briefly. Why does the Malbim say that someone who is a teaching Yeshiva, but he follows the line of the Reform Rabbi, he follows up Geiger's ideology. Geiger was no more as Geiger. He's not a teaching Yeshiva Geiger. So why? Because he's in the primer of the Sheni Yediyah Lisho. Now take the child. Before the child is able to talk, the child in the crib. The child in the crib also has intelligence. And the child in the crib thinks. Some children in the crib are geniuses, but when they are young, they can distinguish between one and the other. The child, according to the child's psychology, the child in the crib, before he talks, before he's able even to say, Mama, Daddy. So then, in his concept, there is a hodgepodge. He knows the mother, and he knows the maid who gives him the bottle, he's very grateful to the nurse, and he knows of the toy. But there is a hodgepodge of everything. Hodgepodge. Mother, daddy, maid, toy, and even sometimes there is some musical instruments in the crib, you know, that keep on playing all kinds of records, and he enjoys it. So there is a hodgepodge. He plays everything. Everything. So that's the spiritual Sheni Yedioh. Spiritual genius might be a professor in Harvard University. Very smart. He knows everything. But spiritually, he's a genius. It's a hodgepodge. He knows. Judeo-Christian heritage. It's a difficult expression, Judeo-Christian heritage. Judaism, Christianity, Buddhism, Mohammedanism, Hajj, Sainach, Yukimanism, such a wonderful word, Yukimanism. He's like the child in the crib who combines everybody with everybody and everything with everything. Mama, daddy, can't say mama, daddy, but Lego, mama, daddy, toy, musical instrument, battle, everything, Sainach. See all Sainach, Judaism. This rabbi, that rabbi, Rabbi Tenenbaum, Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, the whole rabbi, if he's a fine person, if he's not a fine person, so then he'll say, Moshe Feinstein is a fundamentalist, he belongs to the same category as Yator Khomeini. But Tenenbaum, he's a liberal, he believes in Yukimanism. But if he's a nice person, then he's like a shame revelation. But the same kindness, the Maori says, the same kindness that the Roshe says, that the Reform Rabbi says, so the Sheni Yudelish says. But to the Sheni Yudelish seems he's a nice person. There's no one there. You can't expect of him. He's very smart. He's a professor in Harvard Law School. But he's not at fault. But someone who was a yeshiva bocher, who studied in yeshivas for years, and then he tries to undermine the whole Torah, he doesn't have that excuse. So to him, we have to talk bluntly, not Hasu Sholem, not how they state Hasu Sholem, but Akiyash, you know, in a figurative sense, and we have to tell him. Now, you see, we say Hakriyashino. So it appears that we are very militant, we are very harsh to the Russian. They're not so harsh at all. You see, Rashi says, Vajikin Toom Vajishtacha, Opsiras Abulo, Upias Orets, Upsiras Abonu Shediola. So, in other words, the Israelites expressed gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shlom for the fact that they will have children. So in other words, so they were promised that when they take possession of the promised land, they will have children. What kind of simple is it? What kind of children? Something to give gratitude for? The answer is as a Rav Kook, Rav Mitzvah, a king, Kudzah from the Torah. He was Mikari, or the Chaluti, or atheist. But he realized they are not at all these Chaluti. We could be Mikari then. So we have to give gratitude to the Rebbeinu Shalom that these atheists are interested in Eretz Yisrael, in the upbuilding of Eretz Yisrael. And throughout Israel, he felt they will say Meshem in the Torah service. As the Pong Jarov once said, he's sure that Nein Harod, in those days Nein Harod was the symbol of extreme secularism in Harod. So they will daven three times a day. Someday, he said, come to us. So Rav Kook, similarly, they call it then. That's in conformity to what Chazal say, Vayikidom Vayishtachavu, so the Rebbeinu Shalom for Tzirat Hashem. It is the Tzirat Hashem. The Tzirat Hashem consists in the fact that the Hoshe, who defies the Torah, who says, Ma'abega Aziz Lachem, is dedicated to our Tzirat. And suppose the Hoshe, who defies the Torah, would be dedicated to Soviet Russia, then it would be better. So we have to be happy that we have Rishoyim who are atheists, at the same time we are dedicated to the building of our soil. That was the sheet of our atheists. So that's in respect to the atheists. We don't know any better, we didn't see the light of the Torah. But vis-a-vis a rabbi who only tries to cater to the billionaires, doesn't speak up for the one who is unfortunate. We have to flatter them. Now, you all know of the incident that happened with Jonathan Pollard. Terrible thing it is. He cheated, and cheating is a terrible thing, and when a yeshiva boy cheats in an examination, it's also a terrible thing. It's a disgrace. Cheating is a terrible thing, but did they spy in the same manner as the average spy spies? Let's say somebody spies for Soviet Russia. So, his motive is to get all the important information, confidential information in the United States in order that Soviet Russia should be able to use it against the United States. Was that the goal of Jonathan Pollard? He was a misguided youngster. Whose fault was it? His superior officer, Salah, what was his name? Salah. He had two superior officers. One is Salah and one, I forgot the name. It was his fault. And his motive was to help Israel. His goal was not to hurt the United States, as we show it. His goal was to help Israel, to find out certain information about the nuclear reactor in Iraq. And some say that the information that Jonathan Pollard divulged to Salah so was used in the destruction of the nuclear reactor in Iraq. Whether it is so or not, I don't know. But assuming that it is so, it was necessary. If Jonathan Pollard had this desire of any other, I don't care whom, whether he consulted the Rav Roshi, Rav Shapiro, or Rav Eliyahu, the Slavic Rav Roshi, or let's say the head of the Sotweis, the head of the Rish Besdin of the Ida Haredis, I don't care whom he would have counseled. So the psak by every rov, whether it's Mizrahi or Agudah or Tzurkalt or whatever, would have been, don't do it against the United States. Don't do it against the United States. It's not right and it's stupid. It's stupid. But assuming that because of the urgency of the situation, it was indispensable. So how can Mr. Salah assume that the United States government will not find out why? I mean, they are stupid. He's so smart. They are as smart as Mr. Salah. Gamma Bracho, Melach Altikale, Ubi Chadri Mishkofcho, Altikale Rosh. So when Hordes came as someone who is sensitive to the wishes of Hordes, and he impersonated somebody else, and when he asked Bhagavan Bhute to curse Hordes, so Bhagavan Bhute refused to curse Hordes. Why? Because he said, at first he says, you must see Baum Cholisoria, so what he said that he got mercy. He's an impasta Hordes. So, and Bhagavan Bhute didn't know that it was Hordes who stopped. Bhagavan Bhute thought it was a certain Kanoi, a very full Kanoya who was urging him to curse Hordes, still refused. He said, Udechadri Mishkapt Odekalos, don't do something that you wouldn't do it if you knew you would be caught. That's the first lesson in ethical behavior and in practical wisdom. Not to undertake to do something that he wouldn't do if he knew that he would be caught. Because it's the most stupid thing to assume, I'll never be caught. I'm smarter than the FBI in the United States and the CIA. I'm smarter, they'll never catch me. I'm smarter. It's the most stupid notion that one can entertain. And that's also the Hadri Mishkap called the Kal Roshi, but he didn't call Mishkap Kal Roshi. Does it mean a Roshiya who does not deserve to be cursed? Why the Hadri Mishkap Kal Roshi is a terrible thing to curse. It means only if he's a Roshiya tyrant, like Hordes, a murderer. But if you wouldn't curse him openly, you're not allowed to curse him the Hadri Mishkap Kal Roshi. What one is not ready to do openly, he should not do furtively. That's the first lesson that Medinas Yisrael officials and diplomats should learn. And because they don't console Das Torah, that's why this tragedy occurred with Jonathan Pollard. It's the fault, primarily, of Mr. Sarah, and it's also the fault in Hilas Kvedi of Paris. He was the prime minister. It's true. He didn't know. Why didn't he know? Why didn't he know? He should have known. And then, when he was caught, so the stupidity, so they promoted something. Then that provoked and precipitated life imprisonment for Jonathan Pollard, so they forced him to resign. That's the chacham. So, why did all this happen? All this happened, unfortunately, because Mr. Perez and most members of his cabinet, they emphasize the physical redemption aspect over and above the spiritual redemption. So how would they ask Shaila the Rav? Let them ask one Rav. After all, not every Rav is a Kanoi. There are some evil Rabbanim also. Let them ask Rav Gor. He's not a Kanoi. No, but they wouldn't ask Rav Gor either. Why not? Because Harav Goren will give an answer on the basis of the Torah, what he thinks the Das Torah is. No, they emphasize the physical redemption aspect over and above the spiritual redemption. Emphasizing the spiritual redemption aspect is not democratic. Doesn't conform to the thinking of the people in America, but does it conform to the thinking of the American people to allow an Israeli citizen to spy against the United States? Does that conform to the thinking that masses of the American people, now the whole American people is motivated by righteous indignation against the Jewish people. And where are the great liberals who talk about Klal Yisrael? Why don't they protest against this harsh sentence, life imprisonment, against Jonathan Pollard? Of course he should get his sentence. 1 year. He did a terrible thing. Every time a student cheats an examination, he does a terrible thing. Anything that partakes of falsity, of trickery, is a geva. It's an abomination. This is also an abomination. And cheating an exam is also an abomination. And the fact that someone will get a psak from a certain unknown hope that there's no yisar doesn't change the situation. Life imprisonment. A murderer doesn't get life imprisonment. A murderer gets 5 years. Jonathan Pollard got life imprisonment. And everybody's quiet. Everybody. There is one professor in Harvard, Helen Dershowitz, he's not a rabbi. He's not. I don't think he's Orthodox, but he's from an Orthodox family, and he's a professor of law at Harvard University Law School. He wrote an article in the New York Times protesting against this inhuman sentence. Not a word is heard from the Reform rabbis, from the Seder Council, from the Board of Rabbis, from the modern Orthodox rabbis, who keep on talking about Klal Yisrael unity. Why don't they say a word about this? Nothing. Why? They are afraid. They'll demonstrate against Russia here, because they are in the United States. But to say a word of protest against the American government, and no harm will be done to them. They will not be arrested. No one arrested Alan Dershowitz. On the contrary, everybody has respect. So there is a very nice story I heard from my father about the Sheikh Zayed. The Sheikh Zayed one time, so some hoodlums, anti-Semitic hoodlums, broke into his house and they were ready to make a pogrom on the Sheikh Zayed. It happened in those days. But the Sheikh Zayed was putting on the tefillin. So the moment the hoodlums broke into his room, ready to kill him, they knew a great rabbi. So they saw the tefillin, Shalrosh, and the Sheikh Zayed's head. I heard the story from my father. So they fainted. Then they stood up and they left the house. So when these hoodlums broke into the house of the Sheikh Zayed, so the Jews of the town, and that was in Balozhin, because he was robbed in Balozhin, the Sheikh Zayed, so they all assembled near the Sheikh Zayed's house to see what happens. They were afraid that the Sheikh Zayed would be killed. Then they broke into the room and they saw how the hoodlums, the moment they entered the room of the Sheikh Zayed and they saw the Sheikh Zayed and the tefillin on his head, they all fainted. So they're all amazed, they're all dumbfounded. So the Sheikh Zayed said to them, "Why are you so amazed? That's a Gemara in Mefarshes in Brachos and in Brachos. Ki ro ami oretz kishem adishem. Mikol echo omar ablezer in the tefillin shebarosh." He saw the tefillin on my head. So he got scared, he fainted. So there was one balagore in the
house. So he said, Shemsai, Rebbe, I don't understand. Once it happens, if seeing the Tefillin Shel Rosh upon the Jew's head is frightens the anti-Semites, so how can you explain my experience? One time, I had to smear the wheels of the Agolim. It was a Balagol. So I had to smear, and I had to daven. So while I had the tefillin on my head, I smeared the wheels of the Agolim. Then a certain anti-Semite came over to me, and he knocked out my teeth, and then I was almost dead. Miraculously, I didn't die. In the tefillin Shel Rosh, so how is it that he didn't faint? Why only these hoodlums fainted when he saw the tefillin on your head? Why didn't this hoodlum faint when he saw the tefillin on my head? So he said, you're making one mistake. You don't understand the pshat in the Gemara. Kirol kawal amul oresh kishim agishem nikra lecho omer ablezla ilu tefillin shel rosh. He doesn't say ilu tefillin shel rosh, but shel rosh. My tefillin were not only on top of the head, they were inside my head too. I am motivated by the parashas of the tefillin. But your tefillin was only on the head. But it was not inside your head. It didn't motivate you. So only tefillin shel rosh frightens and overwhelms the anti-Semites. But tefillin shel rosh doesn't overwhelm the anti-Semites. There's the trouble. Sometimes you find out that Jews who have tefillin shel rosh, but it's not inside the head. That's why Orthodox rabbis don't protest either. No one protests. Such an injustice. If they protested, the majority of the American people would realize that a great wrong was done. But not a word of protest is heard. And still, modern Orthodox rabbis are trying to convince everybody that they are sensitive to human misery. Why are they sensitive to human misery? Because they can criticize daily Israel for not trying to help out the poor Jewish woman who is abandoned by the husband. How about helping out Jonathan Pollard, who was sentenced to life imprisonment for a terrible thing? But these terrible things are done daily. And suppose Jonathan Pollard would have agreed to divulge some secrets, he wouldn't have gotten any prison, not in one day. But because he acted heroically and he didn't want to divulge one word about his superior officer, because of that, he does not have to be helped. That's justice, that's righteous indignation, that's hypocrisy. And flattering these modern rabbis, that's unity of all Israel. So, and that's all a result, because when people talk, when Jews talk about freedom, chayos is a wonderful thing, but they forget that there are two aspects of chayos. There is chayos aguf and there is chayos anefesh. Who emphasizes chayos anefesh? No one emphasizes chayos anefesh. If they had emphasized chayos anefesh, then the tefillin would be beirosh, not halarosh. Not halarosh. Then even the same Yisrael would have respect for us. How can the same Israel have respect for us? How can they? Ellen Dershowitz has the courage to protest and write an article in the New York Times. But modern Jews, they don't protest. Yes, they protest against Gorbachev, and they'll call Gorbachev by all kinds of names, sitting here, not in Soviet Russia, they wouldn't do it. But sitting here, they protest against Gorbachev. But protest against the court, the judge? who rendered such a harsh sentence which defies all adjective and all concept of justice. It's unheard of. Someone who spied not for the purpose of hurting the United States, but for the purpose of helping Israel. It's a terrible thing. The end does not justify the means. But is he to be treated in the same way like the most abominable spy? So, now, the Amartem, so what's the answer? Why? Is that you? Doesn't Aviram Lorishoi, they defied Mish Rabbeinu, they spoke, doesn't Aviram Mitzovim, him be Rishosam, it's Chalosam, that's Eifon. So why does Malagoda say, Ilo Hoyesham Loyal Nigo, doesn't Aviram is the best example, that Rishoim were also Nigo. Who was excluded from Kulas Mitzray? Why does Malagoda say, Ilo Hoyesham Loyal Nigo? But Malagoda doesn't mean, Ilo Hoyesham Loyal Nigo, that Rishoyim were not Nigo, Chas and Shalom. Rishoyim were also Nigo. But the question is, Chazal say that when Kriyas Yamsuf occurred, and Makas Trelas occurred, so then Uzos HaMitzrayim pleaded before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Halolo Yid Avizore, Halolo Yid Avizore. Why a change? Why is it that the firstborn sons of the Israelites are spared and the firstborn sons of the Egyptians perish? Strong time. The Rebbeinu didn't give an answer. But there was an answer to this question. So, Amartem Zebach, that is in Estuai, the firstborn sons of the Israelites were spared. Even though it's Halol and Abzor, only Shevet Levi was not really Abzor, but except for Shevet Levi, all the other Jews, they were in Abzor and Mitzrayim. But the Danish one is an intimate wisdom took notice of the fact that as a result of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so Jews will become impressed and motivated by the idea of Chilus HaNefesh. That's the reason as to why the firstborn of the Israelites were spared. That's why all the Nisim occurred. Because so this is what to say. He says, why do you emphasize spiritual things? You have to emphasize only the physical aspect of redemption, not the spiritual. What's the significance in spiritual redemption? So, how does Rashi explain Bavuzeh? That because of the mitzvah of Matzah, because of the mitzvah of Moriah, that's the reason it's in Matzah, Machshav, Tchilo. That's the reason as to why all these nisim occurred. That's the reason as to why there was an exodus from Egypt. It's not that we eat Matzah because an exodus occurred. It's the other way. We were delivered from Egyptian bondage in order to eat matzah. It doesn't mean that matzah. It means the Torah. It means tavdunes alekim alarazeh. Libo eloi, ilo hoyo shom, lo hoyo nigal. If the bulk of the Jewish people had been motivated by the same concept as this Roshe, then Gulas Mitzrayim would not have occurred. Of course Gulas Mitzrayim occurred. And it affected the Rosh too, the Svabiram too, he also benefited. Why? Because the bulk of Jewry did not have the same concept as Joseph Babylon. But Yilu Hoyesham, this concept that motivates this Rosh of Ma'avid Aziz Lochem had motivated the thinking of the bulk of Jewry at that time. Euer Lieber, der wouldn't have been Gulas Mitzrayim. Vamartem, so is the same answer as the answer given by the Torah. Vamartem, zebach Pesach ul Hashem, asher posach al botei bin Yisroel Mitzrayim, binokri es Mitzrayim, des botei nilitzi. So what do you mean? Vohoyo kiyin malechem nechem ma'avida aziz lachem. So, what should be the answer? The answer should be, we have to not be called Pesach in order to demonstrate our freedom. No, it's not the answer. We are not not be called Pesach in order to demonstrate our freedom. No, because when the freedom occurred, so then all of Egypt was overtaken by Makas Trevites, and the Ribbono Shel Olam spared the firstborn of the Israelites. That's the reason as to why we celebrate Pesach. Is that the reason as to why we celebrate Pesach? Because while the firstborn Egyptians perished, so the firstborn Israelites were spared. That is the reason as to why the Ribbono Shel Olam had to do all that. So he didn't have to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt. So then the firstborn among the Egyptians wouldn't have perished, and then it wouldn't have been necessary to show a nest to spare the firstborn among the Israelites. Strange answer. The answer should have been, that's how it seems at first blush, that with Zevach Pesach Ula Dishem, Asher Goales Aviseinu in Mitzrayim. No. Zevach Pesach Ula Dishem, Asher Posach Al Botei Bnei Yisroel Mitzrayim, Inok Peyes Mitzrayim, Vez Botei Nu Hitzir, Vez Botei Nitzir. So we only emphasize the fact, one detail, in Yitzir Mitzrayim. One detail. That's not Yitzir Mitzrayim. That's a detail. At the time of Yitzir Mitzrayim, while the firstborn of the Egyptians perished, the firstborn among the Israelites did not perish. They were spared. That's a good thing. Why not emphasize the whole thing of existence? Rather than one detail. The answer is, herein the Torah mentions the main constituent of spiritual freedom. What is the main constituent of spiritual freedom? The way a person regards freedom. The one who is spiritually a slave regards freedom as an accomplished fact. Accomplished fact. But the one who is spiritually free, and this is an impossibility, spiritually free, how can anybody be spiritually free? A person can aspire towards spiritual freedom. Be spiritually free? It's impossible. We can never attain full spiritual freedom. We can aspire towards spiritual freedom. Freedom is to be regarded as a goal, not as an accomplishment. And the test for spiritual freedom versus spiritual stability consists in how, in the attitude a person has towards freedom. A spiritual slave will consider freedom as an accomplished thing. Accomplished thing. But one who is spiritually free in any way will not consider freedom as an accomplished thing, but only as an aim. Did the Jews attain freedom when they were delivered out of the Egyptian bondage? They didn't attain freedom, but they were given an opportunity to attain freedom. As long as they were slaves in Egypt, they couldn't even aspire to freedom. As Shmuel says, because while the Kabon Amokim Avidosi is the Summa Bonum, and that's the goal, but we cannot aspire to spiritual freedom in a vacuum. There must be a modicum of physical redemption. in order to be able to strive towards freedom. So freedom is to be considered as a goal, not as an accomplished gift. So Vandartem Boyo Kirin. So we give the answer of legal law is the same answer. The reason as to why you, Hoshe, so you say that we don't have to practice all these mitzvahs, Korban Pesach, because you consider freedom as an accomplished thing. No, we don't consider freedom as an accomplished thing. We consider freedom as an opportunity, as a goal. But as long as we were physically enslaved, so we did not have that opportunity to strive towards freedom, towards Mamlechas Kirin Kodesh. Now with the physical liberation, so we acquired the opportunity to strive toward Mamlechas Kirin Kodesh. But it's not a complete, never-ending process. Mamlechas Kirin Kodesh. Ve'amartem zevach Pesach hu l'adishem asher kos halvot et Yisroel v'mitzrayim v'nokri es Mitzrayim v'zbetim v'yitzir. Because in all the liberation movements throughout history, there has always been a pitfall in the liberation movement that defeated the purpose of the liberation movement. I mean, was there a more sublime liberation movement than the French Revolution? Liberty, equality, fraternity. And still, Robespierre, who was a true child of the French Revolution, what did he do? What did he do? He sent to the guillotine thousands and thousands of Frenchmen, not the noblemen, but after those who fought together with him. How can you explain that? And what did the pioneers in the communist revolution in 1917, what did they do? They also sent Abigail a team, but they hadn't shot. Whom did they have shot? Whom? They shot the members of the Tsarist regime too, but primarily they shot their own colleagues. Whom did Stalin assassinate? Whom? Thousands and thousands of communists who fought together with him. Why? Because every liberation movement throughout history, I'm talking now about the Salem, liberation movements in Salem. There's only one exception. That is the American Revolution. It's one exception. But all the other liberation movements so failed because of the pitfalls that went hand in hand with the liberation movement. What is the pitfall? The pitfall is the notion that we already attained freedom. Robespierre assumed he attained freedom. If he attained freedom, there's nothing else to aspire for. So he can send everybody to the team. He already attained freedom. There is nothing to aspire for. Why shouldn't Stalin send all his colleagues who differed with him on certain details to the guillotine? Why not? He attained everything. But we should not think, we should not fall prey to this pitfall. So Amartem Zebach Pesach Hula Dishem Asher Pos Halbotik Yisrael Mitzrayim Binok Yes Mitzrayim Levitim Hitzil. We shouldn't think, Chas V'Sholem, that we were spared because we are better. Chas V'Sholem. We're not better. We are spared because the Rebbeinu Shalom, in his infinite wisdom, took notice of the fact that as a result of Yitzias Mitzrayim, there will be a Mamlechas Kianim V'Gei Kodesh. So Pesach means the Rebbeinu Shalom had Rachmones on the firstborn, according to one shot, or he skipped over the homes of the Israelites. In other words, they were spared, the Israelites were spared from falling prey to the pitfall of freedom. And what is the pitfall of freedom? That's the mashris. That's the mashris. The mashris consisted in that erroneous, dangerous concept that freedom is an accomplished thing. Freedom is not an accomplished thing. Freedom is only an opportunity to strive towards the goal of and that, but if not for that detail, then if that had been the motivating concept for the Jews in Mitzrayim, Gulas Mitzrayim would never have occurred. Why? In order to liberate people, so that they should fall prey to that pitfall and sending to the guillotine their own colleagues. That's the mashris. So the Israelites were protected against the mashris. The mashris was not allowed to take possession of the souls of the Israelites. And the reason, now, a very strange custom, Pril and Fest, the Arab in Kippur. You know, the first day is for its sorrow. What kind of sorrow is that? They should rejoice the prayer. Because the firstborn among the Jews did not perish. Why do they have to fast? Thousands of years later, they have to fast. The answer is that also teaches us a certain lesson. We shouldn't think that everything occurred because the Rebbeinu wanted the Jewish people to be free. Why not the Jewish people? How about other nations? Every human being was created in the image of God. How did all them should have been king? Right after the Jewish people? And why should the firstborn among the Egyptians perish? Why? They were innocent. And so that was the time of Uzzah Sal Mitzrayim. How low are you, Zorah? But what is the answer? The answer is for the Benishon, that's beyond our inquisitive grasp. Just as we cannot understand why sometimes the Benishon resorts to midas of Hanukkah. Why was there a Chubin by Shushim? Why was there a Chubin by Shemi? Why was there a Holocaust? That's beyond our inquisitive grasp. We don't understand. We don't understand this, why the Rebbeinu Shalom made every firstborn among the Egyptians perish. We don't understand. He could have delivered all the Israelites without the firstborn among the Egyptians perishing. It wasn't necessary. We don't understand. Why? Wicked. Children are not wicked. They were not at fault. Power was at fault. Power didn't perish, even though he was the firstborn himself. And all the firstborn of the Egyptians perished. Why? We don't understand. Just as we don't understand the Holocaust. There was a reason for everything. But we don't understand. But we shouldn't cast the shalom fall prey to that terrible idea that we were spared because we are so good, we're so wonderful. How long we have been all of Israel? We were spared because of Seif Masi Machshav and Tfilah. Because of the goal of Mamlach Haskiyah and the Kodesh. But at the same time, the Rebbeinu Shalom didn't let the Malachim say Shir. When the Mitzrim perished, even though the Mitzrim perished, were wicked. But children, they were grown-ups. They tried to destroy the Jewish people. But still, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chofetz Kol Nisos, and Shorei Shorei. so masse no de kibu di amba tu nishio. So mele, we have to observe it. The firstborn of the Jews throughout the generations have to observe it tiny city, tiny tzore. What tzore? The tzore, the children, innocent children perish. That's a tzore. But why did it take place? Why did innocent children perish during the Holocaust? Why? We don't know. There is a reason for everything. But that's beyond our inquisitive grasp. This is also beyond our inquisitive grasp. But we shouldn't fall prey to this arrogant idea that they perished because they were wicked. And the Jewish firstborn were spared because they were so wonderful. No. They weren't wicked. The Egyptian grown-ups were wicked, the children were not wicked. But they perished anyway. Why? We don't know. And we have to mourn over that tragedy. That's why the firstborn of the Jews throughout the generations have to fast Erev Pesach. But that's the same answer. There's the same answer as Libur Eloi Yishom Lohayom Yigal. Because we don't mean that Rishoyim won other liver. Doesn't matter, we were also liver. Only because the bulk of Jews was not motivated by this idea of emphasizing physical redemption exclusively to the exclusion of spiritual redemption. Because the bulk of Jews understood that the main thing is spiritual redemption. But Imu Hoyesham, if Chas V'Sholem, the bulk of Jewry had been motivated by this idea, this opponent idea, that physical redemption is the predominant aspect, the goal wouldn't have taken place. And that's the answer of a mountain of Pesachim. We emphasize the spiritual redemption. And the main ingredient in spiritual redemption is that we don't consider freedom as an accomplishment, but freedom is an opportunity, not a reward. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah. 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 Yeah.